All right, what is going on, everybody? Welcome back to another day of SaberSims DFS Office Hours. Today is Tuesday, January 6th of 2026, and looking ahead here, we have a 5-game NBA main slate as well as a 10-game NHL slate to go along with 15 matches of tennis. So, should be a fun day of DFS. For those of you who are new here, welcome. My name is Andrew. I'm one of the coaches over here at SaberSim. This is a show where we go over how to use the SaberSim app, answer any and all DFS-related questions, get your questions in one of three ways here. First off, send us an email, support@sabersim.com. Second, post it live in the YouTube chat. Third way, post it in the Office Hours channel in our Discord server. If you're not in our Discord and want to get access to that channel, there is a link in the description of this video. You also get access to our similar channels, individual sport channels, and you get access to the rest of the SaberSim team. Can't say enough good things about the Discord. But with that said, we do this show Monday through Friday, 4 p.m. Eastern, and then we do this show on Saturdays at 12:30 p.m. Eastern. You can tune in any one of those days to get your questions answered. All right. With that said, let's get SaberSim pulled up on the screen here. We did have one question come in prior to the show, bit of a longer one. So we will take our time there, probably do a slate demo, and then just kind of see where things go. All right. First question today. And I think I'm going to use a different version here where you can still see my face. All right. Hi, Andrew. Happy New Year. Happy New Year to you as well. My apologies if this was already covered during a previous office hour session. No worries here. The holiday season always makes it a bit hectic. I had a two-part question regarding late swap contest sims. When running late swap sims, do you typically simulate against the live ownership fields? And do you do this before every time slot of games? Specifically, does SaberSim account for actual ownership after lock? For example, if Shai Gilgeous-Alexander is projected at 32% ownership in the FanDuel Monster and the locks at 7 p.m., but ultimately comes in at 48% once the contest locks, does SaberSim incorporate that updated information into its simulations? To use a poker analogy, I'm thinking of it as reassessing your hand after seeing the flop and gaining more information. Again, apologies for the long-winded question, and thank you as always. Wishing you a great start to the new year. Right on. You as well. Very good question. So let's talk about this. So the answer is different for DraftKings and FanDuel. I just want to start with that. All right. The reason for this, DraftKings gives us the ability to access their contest information. Anybody could do this. You could go to any DraftKings past slate. So like, for instance, if I wanted to go back to yesterday. All right, I go back to DraftKings for yesterday. I go to the contest tab. This link here takes you to the contest on DK. And then from this link, you can download basically all of the lineups in the contest via this export lineups to CSV button. This CSV button allows us to access, gives us, that is DK's way of giving us access to the contest data. FanDuel does not do that, unfortunately. So in that file, we can pull actual ownerships of players. So on DraftKings, the answer to your question is yes. When Shai is projected at 32% and then he comes in at 48%, we actually do update our field lineups to account for that information. On FanDuel, we do not do that. So a couple things. There's little bits and pieces of this kind of all over the place. On FanDuel, what we do is, and we'll go to like a build. So yesterday there was one game at lock, and then there was five games after lock. So what happens on FanDuel, right? FanDuel specifically, is the ownerships for the players whose games have started effectively get frozen in time. So imagine that the ownership for basically all these ownerships that you see get frozen once the game starts. All of the other ownership is still quote unquote unlocked. So SaberSim can change it if news comes out, right? So if SGA gets ruled out, well, that's going to change the ownerships and the values and what people are going to do in late swap. We are going to, one, update the projections, and then, two, update the ownership. It will still say flagship MME live. There will still be live buckets here for FanDuel, but the games that have started to that point will just be locked in place. On DraftKings, say that Reed actually comes in at 70% owned instead of 56, right? Basically, all of the actual ownerships. What's going to happen when SGA gets ruled out? Number one is we're still going to update the projections. We're still going to update the ownership for all the players who are unlocked. However, with the added benefit of we are now going to know what the players in the games that have started, what their actual ownership is, right? So, hey, we know that Reed came in at 70. We know that Stewart came in at 10, some small deviations in all of these, right? We're going to take those actual ownerships into account when we rebuild the rest of the field, when we go to redistribute the ownership for any players that are ruled out. So on DK, we're taking in actual contest ownership, rebuilding ownership at every swap window. Basically, every time games are unlocked or games lock, we re-grab the actual ownerships. On FanDuel, it requires a sim to run. So if the slate starts and no sim runs between, this is Pacific time, 4 and 4:30, there is going to be no live ownership. If a sim runs, then there will be live ownership. So that's as far as like the contest collection, kind of how the ownership works. Now, what I also want to mention is that when you late swap, if live ownership and live projections are available, we will automatically use them and you don't need to do anything special. This all gets controlled in the contest tab from this gear icon in the field lineup section. Click this. There's two toggles: use live fields, use live sims. They are both toggled on. So when live ownership is available and when live projections and live game sims are available, we automatically use that data without you needing to do anything different than what you're used to, which is just run the build, run the contest sim. You know, you click build lineups, you click run contest sim. You don't have to change anything, and we will automatically switch over to the live data and use that instead. So I believe that covers it. The only maybe other thing we should talk about here is do you typically simulate against live ownership fields, and do you do this before every time slot of games? So on DraftKings, right, there will be some advantage to swapping at every window because the live actual ownership is becoming available. That would be for ultimate users. If you're on starter, I would specifically be looking for projection changes, and I would be doing that in the NBA lineup alert channel in Discord, right? So I would go to Discord. I'm basically looking for situations like this where you see sims run, right? You're going to get some notifications when lineups are confirmed. If a lineup is confirmed and the lineup is as expected and no sim runs, there isn't a need to late swap. But you're mostly looking for situations where the projections change, and then I would late swap if on starter. So that would be the same advice on, well, not exactly. On FanDuel, since there's no actual ownership at each swap window, If you are on starter and you're playing on FanDuel, then yes, it would be the same. You would still want to look for the projection changes. If you are on ultimate and playing FanDuel, you can still swap at each window with the sole benefit of taking advantage of the live sims. So how the players have played to that point in the game, how the live projections have moved up or down for a player, that would be your primary source of edge when playing on FanDuel. So that, I think, covers it all. Don't think I missed anything. Let me know if there's any follow-up. Snowman said, good morning. What is going on? All right. Next question. Hey, Andrew, how much is Saber factoring the my ownership column? To be honest, I had mostly been changing the my projection column if I like a player to get more. Okay, so a couple things here, right? We'll talk kind of about all these editable columns. So the projection is a good one to change if you think a player is going to do better or worse than SaberSim thinks, right? Like, hey, I actually think that Cunningham is going to have a good game, or I think Jalen Johnson is going to have a bad game, right? Moving these projections up or down would kind of fit that mold. Now there's the other option of min-max exposure here, where the min exposure forces players into your lineup, where maybe you care less about the number that they're going to come in at, but you just have an opinion that you want this player in X amount of lineups. Hey, I want to have at least 10% of my lineups have Cade Cunningham. Or maybe I'm getting a really high exposure to, say, Paul Reed. And you know what? This is just too high. Maybe I just don't want this much, right? 80% feels like too much to like a backup center. And maybe I want this to be closer to like 60%, right? So the max exposure is good for limiting players. The minimum exposure is good for forcing players into your lineups. These are very blunt tools. It's like this much minimum, this much maximum, right? Projection is more kind of an opinion about how you think a player is going to do. If you move it up, you are much more likely to get more of that player. If you move it down, you're likely to get less. But it's not very firm, right? It still gives a builder flexibility to do kind of whatever it wants. The my own, what this is describing is how many lineups we expect to play this player, right? So if there are 100 entries in your contest and 10 lineups have this player, that means they are 10% owned, right? This is our best assumption as to how many lineups are going to play this particular player, right? These are our ownership projections. This column is probably the least impactful of all of these editable columns in the player table. The my own specifically, what it does is if you are using any ownership filters or ownership rules, it is using the values in the my own column. And then the leverages are based off of the ownership in the my own column as well. So it is exposure minus ownership equals the leverage score that you see. So here, Buzelis is 33% exposed. His ownership is 22. His leverage is about 11 here, right? So that is another way my own is being used. Outside of that, those are the primary use cases for it, and it doesn't impact the lineup building aspect at all. So keep that in mind. All right, next question. If I don't reset the field slash sim to live manually, what would be the best indicator that would let me know that it is using live field slash sims? Yeah, so those are going to be those toggles that I mentioned in the contest tab. The contest tab in this gear icon uses them automatically. So this does not need to say high stakes 20 max live, flagship MME live. Basically, what the builder does is it does like a check. So it's saying, hey, we're using Flagship MME for this contest. Is there a live field available? If yes, it will use it automatically. If no, then it will continue to use the baseline one. A good way to see if live data is even available is two places. Number one is the My Own Gear icon. The live fields will be here if they are present, which I can see them here. So there's like the pre-slate SaberSim ownership, and then there's SaberSim live ownership. So these are my two options. This is one way to check. The other way to check would be in the games tab. When a slate is in progress, there is going to be a column that appears here called game situation. That will tell you, hey, the Knicks in Detroit are in the second quarter. The score is 40-30, and there is 5 minutes left. It will tell you effectively what point in the game we have simmed that game to. So those are like your main references that there is live data being used. There will also be a live actual column and a live projection column in the player table as well. Those two columns will appear in the middle of a slate. So keep that in mind as well. All right, Ryan said, hey, Andrew, how often do you play the $4.20 max? Reasonable amount to max it out, and effective entrants are usually pretty good. I love the $4.20 max. I think it is a great contest. Post-contest sims would agree as well. So, like, if you go back to yesterday's slate, and then you want to compare, say, the mini-max to the $4.20 max, because they're about the same amount of money, right? $75 versus $80. Okay, well, I come in here, and then I go to the mini-max first, right? I come in here, I click on the mini-max. And we're just waiting for these results to load. Sometimes you got to wait a little bit. That's okay. All right, so I come in here, right? I go over to the user section. Now what I want to see is like, hey, if I max this out, you know, what are the top ROIs that we see, right? So, okay, I look at 150 maxers, sort by sim ROI. So some of the highest, 40, 36, 34. So I would say like 30% plus is like pretty achievable in that contest, right? Okay, cool. So right now they're running the $3.20 max, or at least they ran this yesterday. This is very similar to the $4.20 max. So we're just going to look at this sharpshooter. Like, okay, well, how does that kind of match up against $3 or $4.20 max, right? Okay, we got to change the entries to 20, sort by sim ROI. So this one top is 47, 47, 46, 45. It seems like this one, you know, you can achieve a 40% plus. So both of them kind of look okay, but this one looks a little bit better, right? So if I had to choose between the sharpshooter and the mini-max, well, the sharpshooter, the achievable ROIs is like what I call it, the top available sim ROIs are a little bit higher. And so I think that this would ultimately be a better contest to target long-term, right? So optimizing for sim ROI, this is going to be the best option. So that's how I think about that. All right, next question. All right, this is a follow-up. Said, thanks. I had been mainly doing what you have described, but I have found a few times where I'll say min 5% ownership and SaberSim won't meet my request playing 150, 20, 3 max. Okay, couple things with this. So let's say that I come into the player table, right, and I'm setting some minimum exposures. And maybe SaberSim can't meet them, right? Maybe I see one of my groups is like yellow. I kind of come in here and I hover. This is a good example, right? It's saying, hey, we cannot do 60% exposure to Paul Reed. The lowest we can do is 77.6. That's effectively what this error message is telling me. What I would do in this situation is there's a couple things I would do. Number one is I would finish setting any min and max exposures I want for all the players on the slate. And then I would click rebuild lineups. what this is going to do, it's going to take into account all of your adjustments when we generate your new field. This makes it way more likely that we are going to be able to meet your exposures on the next set of lineups that we create. Now, in the example you gave me right now, you said you had a 150 max, a 20 max, and a 3 max. Okay, so when you have different groups, SaberSim, and this is like what it would look like if you're using the one group per contest template. What SaberSim is going to do is it's going to send each exposure to each group. So you get a 60% max in the 150. You get a 60% max in the 20. You get a 60% max in the 3 max. Now you got to remember that these work differently, right? So like 60% in the 3 max means that you can only have one lineup with that player, because one lineup is 33%, two lineups is 66%. So we're saying we can't have more than 60. So that means we cannot have 66. So this player is going to be limited to only one lineup. It can be hard for the builder to meet many minimax exposures in a 3 max, right? Because it's going to try and, if you have multiple minimum exposures, it's trying to find a lineup with basically all of them to put them in, right? Because you only have 3 lineups to work with. If you're running into that kind of issue where you see your smaller lineup groups are having trouble with the exposures, but your bigger lineup groups are not, what I would probably recommend is going to the templates and switching to direct fill. What this will do is it'll give you one big group with all of your lineups. So in this case, 173 for 173 entries in the situation where you're playing a 150, a 20, and a 3 max. It will give you one group, and then it will apply those exposures across all of the lineups together. This will be another good way of meeting those exposures. So I would try the direct fill template if the rebuild does not work. All right. Christian said, "If it's probably worth looking, but I won the $1.20 max last Thursday. Congratulations. And I was kind of curious if I was just lucky or if I played it well. This tool will help with that." Yeah, it will absolutely help with that. So if you never use Contest Flashback, you never mess around with it, we do have a tutorial on how to maneuver it. So in the SaberSim tutorial section, using Contest Flashback, I will drop the link to this video here in the chat. This will give you just kind of a breakdown. This is a walkthrough video as well as an article with different table of contents, screenshots, text. Some people like to read, some people like to listen or watch. Try and do that for every which way you could access the information. But give that a look. I think if you won the contest, probably doing something right. So Contest Flashback can just confirm that. But congratulations on the win, and make sure you're taking advantage of the SaberSim winner circle to score free SaberSim and free prizes when you do win. So I would check out this page if you have not already done so, and dropping it in the chat as well. All right. Ryan said, "Thanks, Andrew. The 20 maxes always look good post-contest." Yeah, those have good effective entrance, and I think that has a lot to do with it personally. Christian said, "Thanks so much for all your help." Yeah, you are welcome, and I hope your success continues. All right. With that said, I think we are all caught up here. Appreciate you guys tuning in. I'll be back tomorrow, 4 p.m. Eastern, for our next show. So until then, everybody, take care. Good luck. Thanks. Bye.